So what is a mass rescue operation? These are just some typical things that you might see. It could be, you know, like after Hurricane Katrina, mass rescue operation pulling people off of buildings because the streets are flooded. It could be a fire in the hills that forces everybody down to the street. Or it could be a ship going aground. Okay? Or an evacuation like they did in Manhattan. So any one of these qualifies as a mass rescue. By definition, all it has to have is 10 people. You know, think of Bar Harbor, the hospital up in Bar Harbor. How many people can they take at that hospital without being overloaded? I think it's 5. So it's basically a civil search and rescue activity characterized by a need for immediate assistance for a large number of persons in distress. And that normally search and rescue authorities, the local authorities, can't handle it. So we've got to pool our resources to make that happen. And again, it's a low probability, high consequence event. No single agency is going to be able to handle it alone. So here are some, when we look at it, we have to identify what are our risks. So we have domestic passenger vessels. We have large passenger vessels. We have natural disasters. So these are all the different types of risks that we have associated with mass rescue. We know it can happen. These are some typical events. You know, we had the Tender 12 of... in 2012, go aground, 97 people at risk. Some other ones, the Pacific Glacier had 106 evacuees. You had the Costa Concordia, remember that? Big ship on the side. 4,200 people. We had that South Korean 4 ferry that capsized. So it can happen, and we need to prepare for it. So how do our services prepare for and respond to these low probability high risk events? That's the question that we need to answer. Partnership planning and practice, that's going to give us the preparedness that we're needing. So we're Davida and I are working out and going out to, you know, the EMA directors of the coastal counties. We're working with NEMA to try to come up with a coordinated plan, maybe some MOUs that will allow us to work together so that we can do that partnership planning. We've got to get involved with the main state ferries. We had a Southwest group, Southwest Harbor, had an MOU with the main state ferries to be able to use one of their facilities for a victim reception center or a victim collection area. So the Coast Guard operations plan requires that the Coast Guard units come up with these plans and basically be able to work out of this. So we have to do our life saving, we have to do our other statutory responsibilities to provide assistance. And that gives them a list of tasks that we need to work through. So pre-incident preparation is working together to collaborate to develop these plans to be able to respond to these different mission areas. Several years ago, they came up with a best response. If you want to have a best response, these are some of the things that are going to have to be achieved. You know, no injuries and deaths, accurate, timely information shared. So these are just some things that we're going to put on our list of trying to achieve as we build our plans together. The National Response Framework Response Doctrine calls for 5 principles: engaged partnership, tiered response, scalable, flexible operational capability, and a unity of effort through unified command, and then a readiness to act. So we want to be consistent with the National Response Framework. Engaged partnerships, these are all the partners that we need to collaborate with. Everybody's got a piece of the pie. As you know, with an incident command system, someone's going to have 51% of the vote at the beginning, but that's going to shift as that incident shifts. Evacuation will normally occur in the initial response phase. So as we're in that leg of that planning P, once we get to the point where we've evacuated everybody and we begin to account for them, then we've got to care and then get them back to where they need to be, working with the cruise lines, agents and airlines and buses and other things like that. So pre-identified unified command. We should be able to go in each one of those ports and decide who's going to be part of that unified command. Whether it's Main State Police or if it's an aircraft going into the waters, Main State Police has lead jurisdiction, or is it Main Marine Patrol? Who's got the lead? From the state? Who's got the lead from the federal? Who's got the lead from the local? So So we have some pre-planned structures that we can put in place, and we just need to fill in the names of who's going to do that. Some of the objectives are pretty obvious, right? Address the safety of passengers and crew and responders, respond to the security threats if there are any, mitigate any pollution threats, manage the information, and then restore the marine transportation system as quickly as possible so the pilots can get back to work, right? Tiered response. Help will come, but guess what? It's not going to be there right away, just like down up in Southwest Harbor. Coast Guard's going to be there, but don't expect them to show up right away. So for MROs, the local community planning has to include these ideas here. Accountability of passengers working on the cruise line. Sheltering of those passengers that are saved and brought ashore. And one of the problems up in Bar Harbor is the anchorage is actually in Gouldsboro. Who's got jurisdiction there? So there are issues that we just need to work out and work through. Community functional planning. These are just some areas, landing site functions. Who's going to manage that? Who's going to manage the reception center function? If it's going to be the cruise line, they send their care teams here. How long is it going to take for their care team to get here? Who's going to manage it initially until the care team arrives? One of the things we're trying down in Casco Bay is airports are required to have an airport emergency plan. And that airport emergency plan, especially if they're close to water, has to have a reception center, a passenger gathering area. So we're looking at Portland, for example, and saying, okay, can we use the existing airport emergency plan and the chapters and organizations and agreements that are listed in there for our mass rescue operations? A friends and relatives center. Again, it'll be something that's stood up temporarily until the incident subsides and then it goes away, but it needs to be stood up quickly. And this is an FAA, just an FAA example. So you've got to deal with your fatalities, you've got to deal with the injured, you've got to deal with the injured that are treated and hospitalized, and those that are released, and those that are uninjured. Then that's all part of that accountability piece. And who's involved? EMA, fire and EMS, law enforcement, medical examiners, and hospitals, and then the Coast Guard, and NTSB, and a whole bunch of other folks. Here's a typical MRO ops organizational structure that we would want to stand up and create and make sure that the community has the staffing and people identified to fill these positions. Communications connection, and then some of the mass rescue tools that are available. There's a website where we have some tripod folders, some evacuation guides, some on-scene guides, pre-established priorities, objectives that we can share with the community and help them get up to speed faster, but we need to have that dialogue. Some of the lessons learned from other incidents is communications. What's the first thing that goes bad in an incident? Communication. Okay. Passenger accountability. If you're double counting somebody, that's going to screw up your numbers and it basically slows down the process. Shoreside support. Facilities to be able to put people is critical to being successful. And that public affairs piece, making sure the public, is satisfied and comfortable with the response action. The good, the bad, and the ugly in terms of mass rescue, I think all of our individual agencies know their job, and we don't have any turf issues. We work very well together with pretty much all the agencies. The bad part is our communications. We don't necessarily have the interoperable communications that we need. And there are limited community resources in there. This isn't New York, or Boston. And then, generally speaking, there are a few mass rescue operation plans available. That's why we're working with those regions to come up with something that they can use that will pull in their resources and allow them to work collectively. So, that's all I have. Are there any questions?